Hi, my name is Jared Lindzen, and I'm a freelance journalist who has been reporting on the future of work for publications like Fast Company, Time Magazine, the Toronto Star, and the Globe and Mail for over a dozen years, which is ultimately how I met my co-author, Joe.
Hello, my name is Joe O'Connor, CEO at Future of Work consulting, research, and advisory firm Worktime Revolution. Over the last 8 years, I've helped hundreds of companies and tens of thousands of employees pilot a four-day work week in North America, Europe, the UK, and Australasia. Working less time while generating better results is about as counterintuitive as it gets. Logically, it shouldn't work. And yet it does, time and time again, across industries, geographies, company sizes, and cultures. Almost every business that has experimented with the four-day work week in a formal trial has maintained the policy indefinitely. The key is not simply taking one day out of the work week and expecting better results. Those organizations that see success with the four-day work week often position it in a specific way and use it to accomplish specific business challenges.
First, it's important to acknowledge that there really is no good reason for the work week to be 5 days long. It isn't backed by science, ancient wisdom, or divine decree. Nobody sat down to conduct an objective analysis of the optimal number of days for humanity to work and rest and determined that the current 5-2 split was right or fair or necessary. Our conventional work week was instead shaped by a period of rapid economic and technological change that concluded over 100 years ago during the period of Industrial Revolution. For 95% of human history, we worked an average of 15 hours a week, and that work was fluid, flexible, and quintessentially human. Then the early industrial era changed both our relationship with work and the kinds of skills needed to thrive. In the early industrial era, there were no evenings or weekends. Those who showed up were paid for the hours they worked, and those who didn't were replaced. That was until the early 19th century, when Christian groups successfully lobbied the American government to close the post office on Sundays so that workers could attend church, and gradually other employers followed. Jewish workers were instead given Saturdays off to accommodate their Sabbath. That didn't sit right with the Christian groups, who insisted on having both days off for all workers. That is ultimately how we arrived at our current work week, but it wasn't even codified into the American Fair Labor Standards Act until 1940, well after the 40-hour standard was adopted by most major employers. While the standard served us well for the last 85 years, work has changed dramatically in that time. As we undergo another period of rapid disruption, we are once again in the unique position to reimagine work in a way that better suits today's realities and tomorrow's opportunities.
Second, using industrial-era metrics in the digital age is proving unsustainable. Since the Industrial Revolution, we have been calculating productivity in hours, which is a useful tool for measuring output on an assembly line, but not so much in a knowledge economy. There's a lot of ways to fill an hour at work, but not all contribute equally to the business's bottom line. Quantifying productivity is no longer as simple as counting hours, but a much more complex, holistic equation that includes hard work as well as the quality of rest and recovery, time off, nutrition, exercise, sleep, and so much more. In fact, there is a strong argument to be made that there is now a greater correlation between worker well-being and productivity than there is between hours worked and productivity. In a fast-approaching reality where digital labor in the form of agentic AI can infinitely scale a repeatable process, racing against the machine will be a dead end for the human workforce. Instead, productivity will be all about digital efficiency plus human effectiveness. These increasingly valuable capabilities rely heavily on leveraging well-being, motivation, energy, and recovery. Like our pre-industrial ancestors, work is evolving to leverage our most human skills. Those abilities can be optimized through a four-day work week, where instead of seeking to do more things in less time, we will use AI to do fewer, higher-impact things better. Third, a four-day work week only works under the right circumstances. You can't just march into the office on Monday, announce a four-day work week is starting on Friday, and expect workers to magically fill the gap. Much like the transition to hybrid or remote work, the switch to a four-day work week must be designed and implemented thoughtfully. It requires strategy, discipline, and a willingness to challenge everything you thought you knew about productivity. Rather than an extra weekly vacation day, the four-day workweek should be leveraged as a powerful, life-changing incentive to rally staff members to completely overhaul their work processes and adopt new technologies to accomplish more in less time. Such changes are often difficult to implement on their own. If you ask your staff to be 20% more productive, they probably won't respond positively. If, however, you tell them that they can work one less day each week if they can find ways to be 20% more productive, they will likely be more than happy to take on the often difficult but potentially game-changing tech adoption and work redesign efforts that can help them to achieve it. From our perspective, the four-day workweek is about using time as a shared reward for better performance, engaging your staff on a collective mission to reduce hours without compromising outcomes.
Fourth, it has proven an effective solution for organizations seeking to address specific challenges. Those who adopt a four-day workweek typically use it to address concerns related to employee well-being and absenteeism, recruitment and retention, or tech adoption and process improvement. In our book, we share stories of organizations that have leveraged it to address each in a way that would be difficult or impossible otherwise. For example, we offer case studies featuring a nonprofit organization and a family law firm who both struggled with high absenteeism and burnout due to the intense nature of the work. Both ultimately found that any cost of moving to a four-day workweek, which they reported to be minimal, were more than accounted for by sharp reductions in turnover and absenteeism. We also share the stories of mid-sized tech firms struggling to compete with industry giants offering salaries they could never match. Rather than trying to win the recruiting game on the same terms, they decided to change the game and offer a perk that none of their competitors would. As one firm told us, the difference between an A player and a B player is much greater than the 20% in lost time. Another shared how the simple practice of auditing how staff spend their time at work revealed a disconnect between what employees thought mattered to the business and what actually improved its bottom line. Having a roster of all-stars all squarely focused on the metrics the business cares about most has enabled each to be more successful in 4 days than they were previously in five. As discussed previously, the 4 day workweek can also be an effective way to rally staff around internal projects that they might otherwise resist. In fact, research shows that many employees are actively sabotaging their organization's attempt to adopt new AI tools out of fear of being replaced by them. If an employee's only reward for learning new skills and adopting new ways of doing things is more work, less job security, or the opportunity to earn more money for shareholders, they're probably not going to make that transition easy for the company. In the book, we share stories of an American architectural firm, a British environmental consultancy, and the New Zealand office of global consumer goods behemoth Unilever, each of whom used the four-day workweek to motivate major operational improvements by letting staff share in the rewards. While the four-day workweek can't solve all of society's challenges, it provides an opportunity to make meaningful progress in a way that gives people something of value rather than asking them to make a personal sacrifice. The shift to a five-day workweek began as a grassroots movement long before it was signed into law, and we believe the same will be true of the four-day workweek. Although ongoing political efforts from the United States to the UK to Korea help bring attention and credibility to the four-day workweek, change is most likely to originate in academic papers, picket lines, break room chats, and Slack channels long before the conversation is brought into the boardroom and even longer before it reaches the legislative floor. When it comes to setting a new standard for working hours, history has proven that leaders, business owners, and employees have more power to influence lasting change than their politicians. The future of the workweek isn't up to them. It's up to you. Our book, Do More in 4, hopes to further these conversations, offering original research, interviews, and case studies that make a strong case for a four-day workweek while offering strategic advice on how to advocate for, implement, and adopt it successfully.